You may be seated. Why don't we just bow our heads for a word of prayer? Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day that you've given us. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your guiding, leading hand in our lives. Lord, as these few thoughts are here before us this morning, we ask, Father, that you would take these few words that I've wrote down on paper and the few words that I'm bringing from your word. Lord, we know that unless you breathe life into them, they are just but words. And so we ask this morning that you would bring life. We ask that you would stir in my heart and our hearts together, Lord, and help us to seek your face. And Lord, that I here would imply nothing but of you, and that I would that we could explore your word here for a few moments, and to bring you glory and honor, and to so that you could be magnified in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, greetings this morning. It's good to be here. For an opening text this morning, I would like to turn to Psalm chapter 19 in verse 14. A very familiar song, psalm, and a song as well. Some of us know the song. But some things that I've been thinking about in my own life and talking to my children about, and just considering some of these things. I'll give you a moment here to turn to there, and then I'll read it. Psalms chapter 19 in verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I would like to this morning just consider the meditations of our hearts, the thoughts that come from our hearts. And then consider as well, just for a few moments, the words of our mouth. And so as I was considering this verse, I was just thinking about the thought of meditation. You know, we all know, I think, what meditation means. Of just, the Webster's has somewhat of a definition of it, to turn or revolve in the mind. So it's as you think about something, you turn, and it turns around in your mind, and you think about things, and you think about different things. And so here he's saying, let the words of my mouth and the things that turn around in my mind be acceptable in your sight. So what I'd like to look at here first is, what are the things that are turning around in our mind? What are the things that are revolving in your mind this morning? What are the things that you're meditating on? And what are the things that you're considering this morning in your mind? Because what you're thinking about this morning in your mind is what's coming out of your mouth. You know, we hear many times, I've heard it different times. I had a friend who worked with very bad influence, and he was not a Christian, and this was years ago. And he would occasionally, when we were together, he would curse, and then he would apologize, and he would say, that's what happens when you work with people that use that language. And I agree. But I think that it went deeper than that. That is what was going on in his mind. That was not just something that happened. It was something that had been given room to grow in his heart. So there's many things that we can think about this morning. And here in the first, we're going to look at some of the negative things that we can think about. And I think one of the first things that I thought about is assumptions. Assuming things about others, or assuming things about just things. thinking that we know something when we don't really know anything. And I think we can all identify with this, and I know that I can. When you look at a situation and you assume, and the more you assume, the more you become convinced in your mind that what you're thinking is right. And then you begin to build this whole castle of thoughts about a person or a thing or whatever it may be. You can look at maybe the problems that you're in. You can focus on some of the challenges that you're facing, and you're begin to pity yourself. And all these things are things that then begin to come out of our mouth and that we talk about. So assumptions, thinking about ourselves and others. I guess we already talked about others in talking about assumptions. We can think about others. We can think about maybe something or someone that we see something maybe and our mind jumps to conclusions. And as we feed those things and as we meditate on those things, we begin to build something that is most likely not there. We know that in Matthew 12, verse 34, I'll just turn there real quick here. Matthew 12, verse 34. Jesus is speaking here. He says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And so that's a verse that we all know as well. You know, "You generation of snakes, how can ye, being evil, speak good things?" And I think here he's speaking to someone who's living in unrighteousness and sin. But he says it's impossible for you to speak good things because your heart is evil, because your heart is defiled, because what is in the heart, the abundance that is in your heart is what is coming out of your mouth. And so this morning, I would just want to challenge each one of us to consider that our mouth is speaking is what's in our heart. That's what's coming out of our mouth. And we shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't say, "Oh boy, that surprised me that I said that." No. That's what was in your heart in the first place. That's really what was in your heart. That's what's coming out. What's coming out of your mouth is not surprising because that's what's there in the first place. James chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter?" Excuse me. "Can the fig trees, my brethren, bear olive berries, either vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Verse 8, it says, "The tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." The power in the tongue, it has the same power as a poison that you can put out to kill things. It can do the same things to lives as it can to whatever you may be trying to destroy. And we're thankful this morning that it says, but the tongue can no man tame. And we know that's true this morning. Unless the Lord tames the tongue, it will not be tamed. But I think in verse 9 and 10, it brings it a little closer to home. Because it says, "Therewith bless we God," so we're thanking God. So we're thanking God for what He has done. And this may be in pretense or in falseness too. "We bless God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men. Therewith curse we our brother." So we're thanking God for what He has done, but we're speaking evil of those around us that are made in the same, in the likeness of God. And it says, does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? And we know, this morning, we all know that that is not possible. That is not possible. You have a fountain. A fountain can only give forth bitter, and it can only give forth sweet. It can't give both. It gives one or the other. And we know this morning, if you go out and you look at an apple tree, you know for a fact that tree, that natural tree, will not grow a pear. Now, you might be able to put a graph on it and grow a pear, but it is absolutely impossible for a natural tree to bring forth anything other than what it is. And so, we're going to turn here to looking at some of the things that we should consider. And first, I think I would like to turn to Philippians. We're right there, so let's just turn over to Philippians chapter 4. And this is, you probably figured this is where I would go. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. And now we're turning the corner of away from considering what not to do to what to do, to where to turn our minds when our mind begins to meditate. And you know, really, we have, with the power of Christ, we actually have great ability to turn our minds away to something else. Philippians chapter 4. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any praise, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. These things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So now we have an example of what to turn our minds to. The things that are honest, it removes assumption. Honesty will remove assumption, because when you're honest with yourself, you realize that the assumption that you're making has the great potential to be a lie. Whatsoever things are pure, if you're thinking about things that are pure, it immediately removes the impure thoughts, because pure and impure are like the sweet water and the bitter. They can't be together. They don't. Those two do not live together. Whatsoever things are lovely, when you're thinking about things that are lovely, you're not thinking about things that are not right. If there's things that are of a good report, think on those things. And if virtue and praise, think on these things. If there be good things, if there's things, good things to think about. And I was thinking, so what else? Is there something else that we can think about? And there is. I think there is. I think there's things that we can think about. We can think about how to improve ourselves in the, maybe in our workplace. There's always room for improvement. How to grow, you know, how to grow in knowledge. And with that, I would like to turn to Deuteronomy. I have several verses in Deuteronomy that are that I found quite interesting. Deuteronomy, they're both in Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. And I found that very interesting. This is in the Song of Moses. And he's saying, remember the days of the old. and consider the years of many generations. And I find this, I enjoy these kind of things. One thing I enjoyed about Sam, Brother Sam, when he was here, is I just enjoyed listening to him and his years and years of wisdom and experience. There's nothing that I think is greater than sitting down with an old man and just hearing all the things that he's learned, all the things that he's been taught, and just the daily life. So consider and talk to people. Talk to the older people. Talk to the older men and hear what they have to say. It'll do you good, young men. Then in verse 29 of the same chapter. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Another thing to think about. Meditate on these things. Consider your latter end. Consider eternity. You know, we live here and life is good, and we feel, you know, a lot of us feel healthy and strong, and our bodies feel good, and eternity seems far away. But it says it's good for us to consider our end. Meditate. Consider. Consider eternity. Consider where you're at in that aspect, in the aspect of eternity. Are you living your life where eternity is a joyful thing? And then here in closing, I have Psalms chapter 5. Turn forward to Psalms chapter 5 again. And this, I found this very encouraging here, is Psalms chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, and consider my meditation." There is no shame in that verse. There is absolutely no shame that David is saying here Psalms chapter 5 and verse 1. He says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray." And I think that this morning that is the way we should live. That the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, that we could say, "O Lord, consider them. Look at them. See what I'm saying. See what I'm thinking." There should be no shame in what we're saying or thinking. If there's any shame, then we need to consider what we're thinking about. I just have one more verse here. Psalm 143 and verse 5. "I remember the days of old, and I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands." I meditate. We think about. As we talked about earlier, we revolve in our mind the days of old, and revolve in our mind all thy works, and muse on the work of the hand of God and what God has done for us. You know, I think so often we find ourselves thinking so much about ourselves, so much about this problem and that problem, and instead of just being thankful for what, where we are, for what God has done for us, for what God has helped us to accomplish, for the victories that God has given us. But we come so bogged down with our own emotions, and we think about, "Oh, how are we going to get over this? Or how are we going to do this?" Instead of just having a confidence in the Lord. I have a final thought here. Spend less time worrying about the things you can't change, and more time considering the things that you can. Thank you.